love you. I love you. Love you.
Thank you.
It's indeed my happy pleasure to be here tonight. And I'm sure glad you came. As a lady told me one day, I won't get to be back Sunday, but I'll be with you in spirit. And I had a dream about that. What if one Sunday they all showed up in spirit? I wouldn't know how to preach to a bunch of spirits. I like to see some flesh on that spirit. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now Joyce Davis finally helped me know when the first time was that I came to Wheatland for a revival. It was in 91, because they had just recently returned here from Lincoln. So for the last 33 years off and on, y'all had to put up with me either here or at Wheatland. Now, first time I preached in the state of Missouri was in Springfield, and Brother Paul and Miss Shirley were there then. That was 1980, 44 years ago. So I was just a six-year-old, I guess, that time. I invite your prayers for a few minutes. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew was a tax collector that was converted into a servant for the Lord. And also, he was authorized to write this letter. It's the only one he wrote. One time, they were at a stock sale, and this fellow was selling Bibles. And he said, I'll give a Bible to anybody that can quote the first verse of the Gospel of Matthew. Well, nobody could do it. And then somebody saw the old preacher A.J. Sloan coming up, and they thought, oh boy, he's going to lose a Bible now. So he made his announcement over and over, and he said, anybody that can quote the first verse of Matthew 1 gets a free Bible. Brother Sloan just stood there. He couldn't remember what it was. So there wasn't any Bible given that day. But I thought I might be at a stock sale sometime when a fellow would offer a Bible if I could quote Matthew 1 and 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Our lesson begins with the 13th verse. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, that was Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? My topic tonight will be, who is Jesus to you? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock which was himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll stop reading with that 18th verse. I remember as a little boy hearing about Jesus. And I remember one of the first songs that we would sing at church was, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Mother and Daddy would talk about Jesus at home. Eventually, I got old enough to read, and I could read for myself about Jesus. Jesus was a man that lived on earth for approximately 33 years. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't something supernatural. He was born of a woman. She was impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God. God had to bypass man in order to provide a Savior for us because of Adam's sin in the garden. Good news, a man for his son's birth. So Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit and in due time gave birth to a little boy over in Bethlehem of Judea who was named Jesus. He had a foster father named Joseph. Joseph was a good man, but he wasn't the biological father of Jesus. He's never had but one father, and that's our Father, which is in heaven.
Amen.
Our holy God. Jesus is every bit as much God as the Father is. The Holy Spirit is every bit as much God as Jesus and the Father are. I had a good father. Frank Massey was his name. And I wanted to be as good a man as he was, but I haven't made that. He was much better. He was a deacon, as I told you last evening, for a half century. He was honest. He didn't get a great education. He wanted me to get all the education I could get. I wanted to be a CPA. When I graduated from high school, I wasn't smart enough to get any kind of scholarship that way, and I wasn't good enough in sports to get a scholarship that way. So my dad said, "Kenneth, I tell you what we'll do. We'll start a garbage route." And I said, "A garbage route?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "You make more money working for yourself than you can the other man. You can live at home. It won't cost you anything. You can save your money and you can go to college." I thought, "Lord, I just got voted the neatest boy in the senior class. And I'm going to haul garbage." Well, of course, my mother got that award, and she did. And I handed it to her when I got home that day. I said, here's something you won at school, because she's the one to fix my clothes for me. Well, Daddy went and bought an old 53-ton-and-a-half Chevy truck. We got us a number 8 wash tub and a big old scoop. Got a health permit, cost $25. Had some cards made, R.F. Massey and Son, garbage disposal. And I took off on my first day to work. I had 13 customers. I charged $1 a month for once a week pickup. I charged $1.25 a month for twice a week pickup. I was working 3.5 days a week by myself, and after expenses, I was clearing in 1960 about $500 a month. Well, after a year, I had 400 customers, and we sold out the company for $6,000. I had enough money to buy me a car and go to college. I went to college. I came back to Nashville and I applied for work at Commerce Union Bank. They hired me in the auditing department for $150 a month. I mean, I was making progress, wasn't I? I went from 500 a month, 3.5 days a week, to 150 a month, and I had to dress like this at the bank. Daddy said, Kenneth, I don't know that you're making much progress. Well, it didn't matter, because God changed all of that when he laid the burden on my heart to preach. I couldn't get away from it, and Brother Paul knows that. I tried every way in the world. I didn't tell anybody. I asked my best buddy. I said, he was a good boy. I wasn't. I said, David, you feel like God's called you to preach? He said, no. He said, you think he has you? Well, I wasn't going to lie to David. I said, yeah, but if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. And I'm ashamed of that. I really am. I should have never said that. But I did. I'd go to bed at night and couldn't sleep. I'd get up and I'd go out over to the pond where I'd frog gig. And I'd try to get away from I don't know what. And I'd get over there and those frogs would be singing, go preach, go preach, go preach. And I wished I'd have had my gig with me. I'd go back and I'd get in the bed and I still couldn't sleep. And finally, I said, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not qualified. And I'm not even willing. But I'm going to try. If you'll help me, I'll try. Well, I want to tell you something. You'll never work for a better paymaster than God. I don't care who you are or what you're doing. Who is Jesus? He's our Savior. If we go forward, he becomes our Lord. If we continue the process, he's our master. And if it keeps going even beyond that, he's our best friend. And he sticks closer than a brother. I want you to visualize with me this evening for just a few minutes a courtroom scene in Jerusalem. Jesus has been arrested. And his day of trial has come to pass. We're here in the courtroom. I'm going to volunteer to be his defense attorney. We all know that Satan is his accuser. We'll let God be the judge, because he's going to judge us all in the end time. Well, they present their case. The Attorney General for Jerusalem, he presents his case on behalf of both the Jews and the Romans. And they say, this man is saying that he's God. Well, they didn't like that. Of course, Herod didn't like it at all, and you know what he tried to do and couldn't do. Well, you know, the Romans, they were just kind of in a catch-22 situation. They were occupying Israel, but they didn't own Israel at the time. And so here is the fellow that's been appointed there, and he is going to have to be overseeing the trial to see that it's done right. And let's begin the trial. They've accused him, and now they're trying him. And I'm going to bring on a defense. I'm going to call some witnesses to the witness stand. And they'll be sworn in one by one. I have one that is posthumously sending in a testimony as a witness. And we find his words in Matthew chapter 3. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And after just a little bit, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus Christ has come on the scene. He comes up and he asked John to baptize him. And John said, "Oh, no, I'm not worthy to do that. I have need to be baptized of thee." And Jesus said, "Suffer it to be, or permit it to be so, for thus it becometh us in order to fulfill all righteousness." And so John did. He led Jesus out into the water. And there he immersed him. He didn't sprinkle a little water on his head and say, "My, my, what a baptism." He didn't have a bucket that he got a bucket full and poured on him and say, "My, my, what a solemn burial." He immersed him. He went down into the water and he came up out of the water. And when he did, a dove lit upon him and a voice from heaven spoke out and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Folks, I've been well pleased with him for 82 years. He's never failed me once. John is a wonderful, wonderful witness. Well, of course, Peter there was a witness for us, and I won't recall him. But he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then someone else that we might call to the stand would be the thief on the cross. Jesus is nailed to the cross. On either side, there is a thief. The one on the left side, and I've put in there, the Bible didn't, I put in there myself, because I want that good fella on the right. This first fella, he said, if thou art the Christ, save thyself as well as we. And many people have gone to hell saying that very same thing. If thou art the Christ. When you got saved, the if was gone. You said, "Lord, I know you can save me, and I'm asking you to forgive my sins and save my soul." And he did, if you ask him with all your heart. He did, because you have acknowledged your sin, you repented to God for your sin, and God, on behalf of you, by the Spirit of God, enabled you then, by His grace, to place your heart's faith in His Son, Jesus, for life everlasting. So, Jesus waited just a moment. Mr. dear fellow on the right, he said, "Lord," what do other fellows say? "If thou." This fellow says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now, what a testimony. What a testimony by this fellow. Another posthumous witness we had, because he couldn't be there that day. Here he is dying beside of a man that's going to die, and he knows it. And he's asking him to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. You think he's got any faith? Yeah. Oh, my gracious alive, did he have faith? Absolutely had faith. He believed that Jesus was going to die, but he believed he'd conquer the grave. And we know today that he did conquer the grave. And of course, the thief on the cross knows it, because he's living with him in the glory world right now. We appreciate his testimony. Pontius Pilate. Let's call him to the witness stand. Well, he's been sworn in. He's taken the chair. And my first question would be, "Sir Pilate, do you have a comment to say about Jesus of Nazareth?" And he would reply, "I find no fault in him." That's what he said. I find no fault in him. His wife had a dream. And in that dream, she was told for her husband to not have anything to do with this just man. Oh. Pilate consented because the people cried out against him. Yes. Do we have any other witnesses? Certainly. We had that host over in our lesson. They joined in with the Apostle Peter. They agreed with him. They all stood together on "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." But you know someone else that kind of stands in the background? There was one there that heard everything that was said. He saw everything that happened. He saw the 3 hours of darkness that came. That's devil darkness. Do you all remember the scripture in Genesis 3 and 15? It actually is the first mention of Christ in the Bible. And God was having a conversation with Satan in the presence of Adam and Eve. And he said, and I don't want to misquote it, but Genesis 3 and 15, quickly. I want to turn there. And he said, "And I, God, will put enmity between thee," Satan, "and the woman. And thou shalt bruise his heel," the son of the woman, "and he shall bruise thy head." What's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That Satan and he would do battle. And that Christ would gain a victory over Satan and sin through his death. Oh, but man doesn't measure victories by deaths. We measure victories by lives saved rather than by death. But God reversed the whole thing and made a death responsible for eternal life for everyone that would come to Him. Amen. That's what happened. And that's why He bruised the head, the center of His intelligence. That's when He put Satan beneath Jesus Christ. He's still beneath Him. Oh, he rears his head up and he hinders you and me many times. But when we get down to brass tacks, we go to God and say, "God, just what old Peter did, get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, because I'm going to go to church. I'm going to go and teach my Sunday school class. I'm going to the deacon's meeting. I'm going for choir practice. I'm going to preach. I am going to serve the living God, and you can't hinder me anymore." You stand back. The audience is listening. And this fella, the centurion that was in charge of the crucifixion, when he saw what had happened, when it was all over, the darkness had ended, the sunlight had come out, the 3 bodies were hanging on the crosses, dead, he said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." What a witness, what a testimony he made for the Lord that day. John, the Apostle John, you know, he was cast on the Isle of Patmos because he served God. That's the only reason he was put there. I don't know, has anybody ever been on Patmos? It's a small island. I met a lady that visited the island once. And I said, "Well, what's there?" She said, "Nothing but salt mines. That's all that's there." And it's probably all that was there when John was there. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he gave to him the last book of the Bible. And oh, what a witness the book of Revelation is. And Jesus Christ appeared to John there on that island, and he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys to hell and to death. And folks, he still does. He does tonight. He will in the morning if we get up. If there is another morning, he'll have the authority then, to, because everything will eventually be put under his foot. Oh, what a Savior. Who is Jesus to you? How many can say he's my Savior?
Amen.
Thank you. How many can say he's my Lord? Thank you. How many can say, he's my best friend?
Amen.
He's my best friend. My mother was my first best friend. My daddy was next. My sister then. I consider you all my friends because you put up with me, warts and all. And I love you for it. Just to have the privilege to tell you about Jesus again. Yes. Oh, what a Savior. Yes. Death began to form a line to cross the river when Abel died from his own brother's hand. Now a band of mortal souls have swelled old Jordan, passing on there in judgment to stand. I'm so glad that a way was made at Calvary. When Jesus died upon the cruel tree. In the grave he slept a while, then overpowered it. And praise the Lord, he lives forevermore.
Amen.
Yes. In the great beyond, over in the land of Eden, we'll see our friends who left this world so long ago. What a hallelujah morning when we gather over there, where we'll praise our blessed Lord forevermore. My daddy took me to the little church in Humphreys County, Tennessee, where the Lord saved him. He took me to the church in Smith County where his daddy got saved. I said, Daddy, was you there the night Granddaddy got saved? He said, no. He said, there was nine of us kids. And the revival was going, and it was a long ways. And we didn't have time for all of us to get on the wagon and go. And Daddy got on the horse. And he went because he could go a lot faster by himself. But he said the night he got saved, I could hear him. He woke us all up. He came in, and he was hollering for his wife, my grandmother. He said her name was Martha, and he called her Marthy. He said, Marthy, Marthy, I got religion tonight. That's what they'd call it back then for salvation. I never got to meet him. He passed before I was born, but I'll see him in a country where people don't die. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever.